Can you hear me okay?
Hey, Lou. Yeah, hearing me great.
Good. That's always the first question to ask, because I've had some massive fuck-ups with that.
Especially on Skype.
Exactly, yeah. So now we're all settled in, I can at least ask how you doing today?
Yeah, doing good. Yeah, it's been a good day, yeah.
Yeah,
it's too bad. How about yourself?
Well, it's still quite early.
Well, it's 11.
Yeah, I've got the whole day to go, yeah. So I'm quite tired, to be honest. Cool. But yeah, I'm working my way through my coffee. It's a good way to wake up, actually, chatting about game music and the whole remix thing to come.
Yeah, it's fun.
Before we jump into Re-Slaying itself, I thought we'd catch up on Slay the Spire, because it was quite a recent thing, as in when we last spoke, it was just released in its full form.
Yeah, just coming out.
Yeah, and it's had an amazing response. In particular, your music, actually, has had a really good response. So how do you feel about that, about a year on from when we last spoke?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just still so happy and proud to have been involved and happy for the recognition, you know, the devs have got for this just great game that they created, and I'm just happy to be a part of it, really, and, you know, provide the audio for it. I mean, it's brought a lot of cool things. We had the vinyl come out, which was really cool. You know, getting music, which is, you know, I guess in 2019, in 2020, everything's kind of streaming and digital. So having a kind of physical, tangible representation of the music is really cool. So that was a lot of fun, and yeah, just more people playing and hearing is really awesome.
It's cool to hear you bring up the vinyl, because I did have a question about that, actually, because I've considered doing vinyl releases for things of my own in the past, but I've never actually got round to it. And I've always wondered, is there much you have to do, like of remastering it specifically for vinyl or anything like that?
Not myself. I worked with Ghost Ramp on, they handled everything for it. So, and they've had so many awesome releases as well with other game soundtracks. So, yeah, that was luckily the mastering for vinyl. It was not on me, because I wouldn't know where to start. And yeah, luckily experts were taking care of that.
Yeah, that's one of the things that held me back for sure, definitely. Yeah. But the remix stuff is obviously something where you're a lot more comfortable. So Re-Slaying is this, if I'm not wrong, it's four tracks, right?
Yes, four tracks. Just a little tight EP kind of style, just kind of focusing on four melodies that and motifs that I liked and wanted to kind of twist up and reimagine.
So why psych rock, which I believe is the main kind of spine behind it? Why have you gone for that particular genre?
It's a genre that I've always loved. I mean, I'm a big fan of tons of different bands, like mostly, I'd say, biggest influences are like bands like Tame Impala, On No Mortal Orchestra. I guess it's like rock, but you know, it's a little twisted and much mirroring kind of my love of shoegaze. It's rock, but kind of heavily affected. Whether it's, you know, a lot of reverb, a lot of delay, a lot of fuzz. It kind of just it's unique in its sound design and how it kind of approaches rock. So, wanting to do that and take my love for that and kind of take that on the Slay the Spire. So
yeah,
I guess that's just my personal love for it was drove me to remix that in that way.
And I wanted to talk a bit about the use of guitars throughout it as well, because obviously that's not something we hear at all throughout Slay the Spire, I guess, unless you've like used it for some effects and things like that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, I did mention just in one of the tweets and I think some other places that with Slay the Spire, it's obviously very orchestral, and that's kind of the front runner in the sound. But just to kind of support the kind of, you know, weirder, the more mystical elements that make up the game's world, there are lots of, you know, dusty synths and old kind of keyboards and stuff like that to just pad out the background and add a bit more of a you know, twisted kind of feel to the orchestra, and just like delays all over that, it's just hiding in the background. But there's definitely just a quiet little bit of a psychedelic influence in the soundtrack already, so it's kind of just reaching onto that and pulling it forward, bringing with guitars and drums, and yeah, focusing on that.
Yeah, it's really cool because I remember talking a little bit about some of those subtle synths when we first spoke, but I never considered whether you might have been using guitars as any of those layers. But obviously, your display picture on Twitter at the moment, I believe, is you playing a guitar. And so, is it actually a first and foremost instrument for you, or one of the earliest things that you were playing?
I started with piano, but guitar was one of was pretty like an instrument that I kind of like picked out myself. I was like, I want to learn that. I want to take that on. And definitely, early teen years, that was my main instrument. And when I thought I was gonna, maybe be like a session guitarist or something like that, those kind of dreams. But it's always been a continuing thread throughout composing, and pretty much what brought me to composing, which led me to get my first like digital audio workstation to record guitar into, which led me to find synths and samplers and stuff like that, and kind of started the road really.
Excellent. And how about the production of this Rieslane otherwise, other than the guitars? Is there much other live instrumentation going on? And if not, like, what kind of software are you using this time around?
There's other than bass, the drums are all sampled, but I've spent a bit of time on those because that's another big part of Psy for me is heavily compressed drums and really kind of like distorting them and doing different stuff with that. So I love kind of digging into that and trying to tweak and get it sounding how I want. And then there's a couple bits of the original soundtrack just like sampled in a bit there, just like chopped up and run through some guitar pedals, stuff like that, and then classic synths like that make up a lot of my favorite Psych albums. So a lot of influences, but main live is guitar and bass. That's the kind of driving force there.
And the track that you've sent over is it upward or upwards? I think it's just upward, isn't it?
Upwards, yeah. I was kind of just kind of coming up with little kind of different titles to distinguish them from the game soundtrack. And just think, the main point of the game is trying to make your way up and slay the spire. So as this was the main theme, it's called Slay the Spire on the game soundtrack. So I thought Upwards kind of fits it nice and sounds a little classic rock.
Would it be a fair guess that this was possibly the first you worked on with this kind of thing?
It went through a few different iterations, and I can't remember now if it was the first one I worked on or if I kind of approached maybe a few of the others first or just one of the others to kind of get a sense of it. Because definitely as it's a genre I like, I was probably a bit like hard on myself with some of the early takes on it and wanting to get it to a sound I was happy with. So
Was it always a project where you like went into it saying this is something I'd like to release and go public with, or was it at first just kind of like a stretching your own muscles, having fun with it thing?
I think a bit of both. That's a good question. Definitely something I wanted to do because there are so many cool remix albums out there, either by the composers themselves or other composers, other artists, especially in the chiptune genre. That's just a gold mine for just incredible remixes and of video game soundtracks.
Which are often just as
So it's definitely.
creative as the original
Yeah,
as well, yeah.
absolutely, for sure. So I definitely wanted to take something I had done and kind of have my own little relook at it. And then yeah, I guess it was to kind of play around with that genre. It was a good vehicle to kind of have these melodies in place and not have to think of some new stuff, but just use them to drive kind of different sound design and some different tones on different instruments.
And so I believe, because this is being pre-recorded and will be cut into the show, that the actual, as this show is going out, it is released because it's January 10th, right?
I think it's yeah, it will be. It will be.
So where exactly is it available, and where could my listeners find this? And
That would be a
also,
good thing to say.
you know, yeah,
Yeah, it'll
could
be
we
all
expect
over
a physical release as
Spotify,
well, I was thinking.
No, probably right now it's just going to be streaming, Bandcamp. So there's Apple Music, Spotify, Google Play, the stuff like that. Yeah, just go out on all those platforms.
Excellent. You'll have already heard Upwards because we'd have played that before this interview, and it's going to be well worth checking out this whole thing. I've only heard Upwards myself, so I'm excited to hear the other three tracks. I really am.
Yeah, I'll be cool. Everyone's digging it.
I'm so excited. And I've actually had a couple of questions from a fan because I put it to a Facebook group of VGM fans that I was speaking to today. And I had one guy who's such a fan of your music that he says he listens to it on constant loop all the time, often to help him sleep, if I'm not wrong. And one of his questions I thought was quite interesting, actually, was in how you go about constructing a good loop with music, which, of course, is important in video game music. For the music to loop convincingly. And it's something that interests me actually, as an amateur musician myself. It's not that easy to do, is it?
Yeah, I definitely think, personally, I really like melody, and that's a huge part of my writing, just from the different film and video game, of course, because melody is huge in classic video game music and the music of today. So I think with that melody and because it's out there, it's in front. It's the kind of first thing you hear in an arrangement is reharmonizing and twisting it and making it different as the piece goes along. So it's kind of something you're already familiar with, but sprinkling in something new. So it can kind of, it feels like it's developing, and when it comes back around in its original state, it's kind of, you know, it's like returning again, and then it will, you know, evolve and take on these different shapes. So definitely not in a positive way, recycling and reusing themes to make them stronger and build them up. I really like doing that in loops to kind of solidify them as a whole track.
And on a technical level, like how difficult is it? Because this is gonna like show my ignorance, but it goes back to when I was about 14 and first started producing. Is I had made that stupid mistake of not like silencing the loop properly, so it would make the clicking noise as you loop, if you know what I mean.
Right, the pop. Yep.
Yep.
The 0 point crossing. That was something that's like I was struggling with when I was first. I can always like picture back to that, and you think you've got it perfect, and then you'll play it back, and it's just this little cut or this little loop pop in your loop, and it's clipping in the tail. I think I just it's for me, it's either, if it's still happening, you know, go back and fix some things and trim and fade to get it nice and smooth, or just I definitely think about it, the end of the loop, because you don't want anything, you know, too massive, too bombastic at the end that's going to get hard chopped off. But definitely with, if you're in a situation on a game that has like middleware, that's going to be awesome and sorted out. Things like FMOD and WISE, those will help you handle a loop brilliantly, because you can kind of rest on those. But if it's a situation like Slay the Spire, where we didn't have audio middleware, it's just tweaking and kind of working ahead to make sure those little pops are hidden and nice and seamless in the track.
And the same guy who asked about that, and it's a quick shout out to David who's asked these questions. Is
I like
he?
this guy. He's awesome.
Yeah, he is, absolutely. Yeah. He's also asked how much you play of some of the games that you've composed for and anything you might be a particular fan of on a gaming level.
Well, Slay the Spire, I played quite a bit of it, especially when it was, you know, as it was being developed and you know, testing the tracks along with it and just playing it separately, just to get a sense of it and just get a feel and of how fast and how, you know, the driving nature of the tracks and how it should feel in the game. Pretty like as far as being good at the game, you know, I'm in a semi-confident space where I'm not too bad at it, but not super great at it. But definitely as a whole, love playing games, and that's a you know, driving part of wanting to compose for them as well.
Well, that kind of leads me on to the last couple of things I wanted to ask about, which is that it's not all about Slay the Spire now. A couple of other things have been released since we last spoke, and I've listened to them
Yeah.
quite a lot as well, and I think they're just as good. In Kind Words and Factory Town. So, in particular, we played some Kind Words on the show last week. Really awesome stuff. It's just kind of, if I because again, I feel a bit out of touch with everything that's not video game music. But is that kind of like vaporwave?
Yeah, it actually came from I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a whole kind of community on YouTube where there's live streams, constant live streams of
Yeah,
lo-fi hip hop.
the stuff to
And
study
what you'll
to and all of
see,
that kind of stuff.
yes, she'll be studied to. So definitely the developer from Pop Cannibal, Zyber, was kind of inspired by that, and that's part and parcel with the title of the game is Kind Words and Lo-Fi Beats just to write to. Which is referencing that. And so that was a project that kind of just came about. I worked with Zyber previously on Make Sale. So he approached me about the game that was like about to come out, just because it was being released as part of the Humble Bundle, kind of pushed ahead in its release date and its development cycle. There was he wasn't expecting me to write the whole soundtrack. He's just like, hey, I know this this has come forward kind of fast, and I'm sorry we didn't have more time, but if I'd love you to write a track or two. And so I just said I'd love to write like a whole bunch of tracks. So just in a very short window, I just jammed out and had a ton of fun writing 10 or so tracks, and then we went and did more afterwards to make it a little longer and give more to write to, as it were. But yeah, that was a really fun soundtrack to write, because it's just I love like exploration and just different synths and different sampling and just very chill vibes. So it was nice to write it.
Yeah, and it is completely different to Slay the Spire as well, and
Absolutely, yeah.
so is Factory Town, which is again its own kind of thing, which has moved into this really calm kind of lots of plucked sparseness within there. Again, if I'm not wrong from what I hear, and we didn't hear that last week, but we will have heard some of that this week. So, is there any particular background you could talk about with Factory Town?
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you. That was a cool game to work on as well, because I've always love any kind of building and simulation games. So definitely with the rhythmic nature of those and the progression through them, I tried to kind of capture in the soundtrack, and just also the kind of the setting and nature of the game, where it has its kind of strategy and ideas and planning things out, but it's also a little more laid back. So having this kind of acoustic and piano led soundtrack was fun to write, 'cause coming with different rhythms and different patterns that could kind of overlap and weave through each other was cool to think about and cool to approach.
Out of the three that have been released lately, Slay the Spire, Kind Words, and Factory Town, which one would you say was like the biggest challenge or stretch or thing that you're not necessarily used to musically?
I mean, probably I haven't put out stuff like Kind Words, the music there, but I've always kind of written that and just for myself personally, just enjoyed electronic music, so wanted to take my hand at it and try some myself. But I'd say just for the time window that Kind Words had, which was just pretty much just under a week, that was probably the biggest challenge. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
It was
just
fun to do. It was a lot of fun.
the ability to skip around genres is always one of the things that impresses me most about video game musicians. It is with any given project, it could be so completely different to anything you've done in your career, and I just feel like that's not something that faces a band or even necessarily movie composers in the with the same kind of like focus that it happens in games.
Right. Yeah, no, that's true. A lot of the people I look up to, they have that versatility and kind of all these different influences. So, and get to, games allow them to explore that. So I definitely think that's really awesome. It's a cool niche to be a part of.
Absolutely. So just to finish up, is there anything you can talk about that you're working on at the moment?
Not at the moment, but yeah, some cool stuff
I'm
that
absolutely. It's
could
always
work
worth
for
asking.
2020. Yeah. No, that's
I
awesome.
often realize that there's often things that can't be spoken about, but it's worth asking.
Absolutely.
Well, Clark, thank you so much for appearing for a second time. It looks like there'll have
Oh,
to be a
thank
third
you.
then with this stuff that's coming out.
Absolutely. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Right,
It's always
so
nice to talk.
I'll be in touch when there's been more movements then, and thank you once more.
Sounds cool.
All right, bye for now then, Clark. That was great.
See ya.
Bye.